Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. And as you're being seated, you can turn to the sermon section in your bulletin, because to begin, we're going to review. If you can do this from memory, great. But the words are written there for you, so you don't have to feel bad if you don't have it memorized at this point. But hopefully by the end, at least some of these you will have said enough times that you will know it by heart. So I'm going to ask, and you can respond with the answer. Redemption means liberation through the payment of a price. Propitiation means turning away God's wrath. Justification means and today's word, stewardship, which I have already been told is going to be a fun one. Today's word, stewardship, here's your fill-in. It all belongs to God. Amen. It all belongs to God. Psalm 24, verse 1, read today, says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." The earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it. The world belongs to God and everyone who lives in it. Everything belongs to God, including you. And so we often use the word stewardship to emphasize this reality, that everything belongs to God and we are merely stewards of His resources. A steward, of course, is someone who is entrusted with someone else's property and given the responsibility to manage it for the owner's best interests. Everything is His, including our own selves, and He entrusts that to us to use for His glory and for His good purposes. It is His, and we are stewards entrusted with various parts of His world. In one of the Lord of the Rings movies, the third movie, Return of the King, Gandalf, there's your picture of it, Gandalf goes to Denethor of Gondor, the steward who's been put in charge until the rightful king is restored. And he doesn't want to give up his authority. And in the movie, Gandalf says, "Authority was not given to you to deny the return of the king." And then he said, sort of snidely, "Steward." The steward to which replies, "The rule of Gondor is mine." But the fact is that if we think of ourselves as rulers of our own property, instead of stewards of God's property, we go dangerously wrong. But the Bible teaches that we are stewards of God's resources. And that's a very noble calling that we have. This doesn't demean us in any way, just the opposite. Being given the responsibility to steward God's resources and to steward God's world is a tremendous honor and blessing to us. But we need to acknowledge what the Bible tells us, that we are stewards of His resources, not owners of our own. It all belongs to God. So this morning, we're going to look briefly at each of the remaining three passages that were read today. We've already seen from Psalm 24, verse 1, this sort of overarching message that it all belongs to God. And now we're going to look closer at each of the other three readings that we've heard today, and look at in each of them how this gets lived out. Now, stewardship is an important concept using in all areas of life, because if it all belongs to God, then we need to think about how to steward all of our areas, all the areas of our life. But these passages specifically home in on a specific component of stewardship, and that is the use of our money. Everything belongs to God. And so, as we see in these passages, how we use our money, how we use the money entrusted to us, matters. So, we're going to look at stewardship and that specific form of stewardship in our passages for today. So first, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3, in this passage, God's people are told that they are under a curse because they have not tithed as God told them to. Malachi 3:8, which was read today, says this, "Will people rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, God says. How do we rob God? Well, he tells us that actually we steal from God, which by the way is never a good idea, we steal from God when we do not give of our money that he's entrusted to us. And specifically, this passage mentions the concept of tithing. Verse 10 says, bring the full tithe. God's people are told to tithe. Tithing, by definition, means giving 10%. Tithing is not the same thing as giving in a general or vague sense. Tithing means giving 10% of our income back to God. You can't tithe 2% or 4% or anything else. Tithing means giving 10%. And here in Malachi 3, God's people are told that not doing that is actually described as stealing from God. See, it all belongs to God, and God tells his people to give at a minimum 10% back to him, bringing it, as it says there, bringing it into his temple, into his storehouse, we would say the church. Now just notice the difference that a proper understanding of stewardship makes in our attitude about this. If my money is mine, if it belongs to me and I can do whatever I want with it, then being told that I'm supposed to do something with it is kind of upsetting. Why? I mean, who does God think he is to tell me how I have to use my money? Thank you very much. But when we correctly understand this worthy word of stewardship, that none of it is mine, then I see how gracious God is that he would provide any of it to me. God has graciously entrusted it to me to use for my needs and even many of my wants. And because it is his, he has told me that a portion of his money should be used in a certain way. And that actually changes things quite a bit. It belongs to God, and so then we need to use it in a way that he tells us, with his money. And not tithing, not giving 10% of our income back to God and his church, is actually described in the Bible as stealing from God. Now, some people have pointed out that the New Testament, the part after Jesus comes, does not emphasize the requirement of tithing quite so clearly as the Old Testament did. That's something that's commonly brought up. Now, Jesus himself does explicitly tell his followers to tithe, so that's important to remember. But even if we think that the New Testament doesn't require it in the same way, even if we think that, we need to remember that the New Testament regularly sort of ratchets up the commands from the Old Testament. So Jesus preached, the Old Testament says don't commit adultery, but I say don't even look with lust, ratcheting it up. Jesus preached, the Old Testament says eye for an eye, sort of even punishment, but I say whoever hurts you, turn the other cheek. Jesus preached, the Old Testament says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies, ratcheting up those commandments. It is hard for me to then imagine that Jesus would say, the Old Testament says to tithe, but you know what? Inflation's tough. Mortgages are expensive. Kids' soccer is expensive and probably more important than church. So you know what? Let's just not do that anymore. The church has all the way back to the first century has always understood that the command, if anything, should be increased because of what Jesus has done on the cross, not decreased. Because of the grace given to us in Jesus, if anything, our response should be greater, not less, not lessened, but if anything, increased. Stewardship means that it all belongs to God. And Malachi 3 shows us that because our money is not ours to begin with and all belongs to him, then not giving back to him is actually described in that harsh language of stealing from God. Because it belongs to him, we need to be faithful with his resources and use them in the way that he sees fit. And that includes tithing, as we see in Malachi chapter 3. So that's the first one. Second passage we came to, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. So in this chapter, looking back to the Old Testament, we see it brought up a brief encounter from the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, there is a king named Melchizedek who shows up, and Abraham, father of the people of God, famous great Abraham, after winning a military victory and has all of his loot from that, recognizes Melchizedek is so much greater than he is that Abraham voluntarily tithes, gives 10% of the spoils to Melchizedek. Abraham, the man called by God to be the father of God's people, great Abraham recognizes that Melchizedek is even greater than he is, and he gives Melchizedek as a way to show that he is so much greater. So Hebrews 7:4, talking about this encounter from back in the Old Testament, says, "See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils." So tithing from the spoils was a way to acknowledge that Abraham was lesser and Melchizedek was greater. And the point here is that the act of giving, and in this case specifically tithing, but the act of doing this was a declaration that the other one was greater than he was. Now, I have found that to be the case in my life. So when I give to charity, when I, a good project or a good ministry helping others, when I do that, I don't necessarily feel prideful, like I'm puffing myself up. I don't think that's what's going on. But when I do that, I still feel like the powerful one, and I'm giving to those with less power. I'm not saying that's wrong, but when I give in that way, that's often what I feel. That's what it feels like I'm doing. But when I tithe to the church, and you should know that my family tithes to the church on our full pre-tax income every month, but when I tithe to the church, I don't anymore feel like I'm the one in charge and have the power. Rather, writing that check, and yes, I do still write physical checks, writing that check feels like giving to someone greater, which of course it is. Giving to charity is good, feels like I'm in charge, but tithing actually reminds me that I'm not, because in tithing, the lesser gives to the greater. Now, Abraham didn't have to give the tithe to Melchizedek. That's not the point of that passage in the Bible. But the act of tithing, the act of submitting and giving in that way, showed that Abraham recognized his superior because the lesser gave to the greater. So when we faithfully tithe, which we are expected to do, we're acknowledging our superior. We step down from the throne of our hearts and throne of our lives, and we acknowledge one who is greater than we are. Because it all belongs to God, we are to tithe, to give back to him as an act of both submission and worship of our great God, taking the lower place and acknowledging the greatness of God. That's Hebrews 7. In the third passage today, we come to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. Now, in this passage, Jesus explicitly tells a guy how to use his money, which is, of course, belongs to God. And the man left Jesus sorrowful and unwilling to do what Jesus called him to do with his money. So this passage shows that how we use our money displays what's in our heart. So Malachi 3 tells us that when we don't give to the Lord, as he calls us, not doing so is stealing from God, it says. Hebrews 7 shows us that the act of giving helps us recognize that we're not in charge, but God is. And here in Mark 10 shows that how we use our money displays what's really in our hearts. How we use our money, how we spend our money, shows us what we hold as most valuable. So as one person put it, our stewardship of money tells a deep and consequential story. How we use, or in this case in Mark 10, don't use our money shows what's most valuable to us. So this man comes to Jesus and says that he wants to follow Jesus. He even says that he's been faithfully following all of God's commands carefully since he was a child. But Jesus can see what really controls this man's heart. Jesus can tell that this man's wealth really is most important to him. We would say really is his God, truly his heart's desire. And so Jesus goes to that place with this man. Jesus tells this man to go sell everything that he has. Remember, it all belongs to God. He says, don't just tithe, don't just give a portion of it, but go sell everything you have, give all of that money away, and then you can come follow me. And the man goes away, But he doesn't go away to do what Jesus said. He goes away sad because he has so much and he's not willing to part with it. A wealthy Christian plantation owner once invited the famous pastor and preacher in the 1700s, John Wesley, to his home. And he took Wesley on a horse ride all day around just to see even a portion of his vast estate. And at the end of the day, the man asked rather proudly of Wesley, "Well, Mr. Wesley, what do you think?" And after a pause, John Wesley replied, "I think you're going to have a hard time leaving all this." See, God wants our hearts. And there are many ways that we are called to give our hearts to Him. And the one that we see here in Mark chapter 10 is through our finances. God knows how we use our money, displays where our heart really is. And so one reason that he tells us to give to him and to his church is so that we can see what we really value. Submitting to God and giving back to him of what he has entrusted to us displays what's in our hearts. And it also shapes our hearts. Giving shows what's in our hearts, but it also actually changes us. As we come to understand God's amazing grace to us in Jesus, what he's done for us on the cross, these things we've been looking at in this series, the redemption and propitiation and justification, it's one thing to feel a change because of those things. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to feel that. But our heart is actually changed as we live that out. Being obedient to God changes our hearts. Giving shows what's in there, and it also actually changes what's in there, changes what's in our hearts. So, for example, tithing means giving 10% of our income. You realize, of course, that involves calculations. It's not necessarily complicated math, but it involves a calculation. You actually have to count up what you make, what God has entrusted to you, and then you can sort out what 10% of that is as a starting point for giving. So, doing that means that you have to literally count your blessings. You count the material blessings that God has entrusted to you, the blessings that God has poured out on you. And counting these blessings reminds us of his other blessings. His material blessings to us should point us to the ultimate blessing of salvation that we have in Jesus. And the act of giving to the Lord does something in our hearts that very little else can. Giving changes our attitudes. It changes our allegiances. It changes our values. And the act of using our money changes us, and giving it to God, using it in that way, changes us in a way that God desires. Because it all belongs to God, stewardship displays what's really going on in our hearts. And faithfully using his resources for his purposes and for his glory changes our hearts to be more and more of what he made us to be. Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein." Everything belongs to God. And in his grace, he has entrusted his resources to us as his stewards, to use his resources, to use our very selves, and to use our money in ways that please him. And part of that calling is to give back to him of what he's entrusted to us, to give back to him and his ministry in the world. And because it is his, we should use it in the way that he tells us to. Giving back to him, especially tithing, is expected of Christians, and he tells us that not doing so is in fact stealing from God. Giving back to him reminds us that he is greater, that he is Lord and King, and we are not. And giving back to him both displays what's in our hearts, but actually changes our hearts. It all belongs to God, and we are his stewards, honored by his grace to entrust us with his resources. So let us be faithful stewards of what he has entrusted to us. And to close, I want to read these words from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. For all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you. Amen.